with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Australia made a great leap forward in 1992 when the Disability Discrimination Act came into force. Finally, the country recognised the difficulties faced by the increasingly large number of people with disabilities. The position of Disability Discrimination Commissioner was then created within the Human Rights Commission to join three other full-time commissioners: Human Rights Commissioner, Race Discrimination Commissioner, and Sex Discrimination Commissioner. The current Disability Discrimination Commissioner is Alistair McEwan, who was appointed in July 2016. Alistair is profoundly deaf and brings to the position extensive personal and professional experience of disability. His educational background is in arts, law, and business administration, and he has undertaken many influential leadership roles, including Executive Director of Community Legal Centres, New South Wales, CEO of People with Disability Australia, and President of the Deaf Society, New South Wales. Recently, he was chairperson of the Disability Council in New South Wales, the official advisory board to the New South Wales Government on disability issues. Alistair's fundamental belief is that the inclusion of people with disability is essential for a healthy society. Also, that nothing will change unless people with disability are actively involved and represented in decision-making processes that affect them. And with the NDIS now established, governments and the community are beginning to recognise the value in investing in the rights of people with a disability. To quote Alistair from a seminal keynote address he gave at the National Disability Services New South Wales State Conference in February this year, "People who have been told their whole lives that they have to be special, go to special schools, have special jobs, attend special activities, live in special homes, can just be ordinary because of the NDIS." We have been interested in inviting Alistair as a guest on AbleQuest for some time, and were fortunate to be able to interview him during the recent Live, Work and Play New South Wales State of Inclusion Conference. Barbara Sullivan spoke with him on the show floor with the assistance of an Auslan interpreter.
Hello, Alistair. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Barbara.
And you've been in the role of Disability Commissioner for probably about 6 months now, or perhaps a bit longer.
About nine months. Yeah.
So what listeners would like to know is, what does a Disability Commissioner actually do?
Well, the Australian Disability Discrimination Commissioner essentially promotes and protects the human rights of all people with disability in Australia. Now, that's a very big job. There are 4.3 million people with disabilities living in Australia.
Of all kinds.
Absolutely. We come in many different forms and shapes.
And so, therefore, you sit within the Human Rights Commission, do you?
Yes, so I work at the Australian Human Rights Commission, and I work with a small team. I have a full-time advisor and a full-time executive assistant. So we're a very small team, and we're very aware of the many, many challenges that people with disability face every day. So it's my job within the resources that I have to try and work on the most important issue. And people have told me employment, education, accessible housing, the NDIS is a big one, violence against people with disability, and also the criminal justice system. So they're my six priorities. Of course, there are many other issues, as you would know. Access to health, access to transport, and of course, access to communication and technology, particularly for many people who are blind or have a vision impairment.
Right, and that's a fairly big list. And, so you are an advocate, presumably, for all people with disabilities. Do you speak to government a lot? Are you speaking to communities a lot? What's your day look like?
We've absolutely hit the nail on the head. I'm a link, really, or one of many links between the community and the government. The community tells me what they see are the issues and offer solutions. And it's my job to take those up and work with government. That means meeting many members of parliament, ministers, and also the bureaucracy or the government department. So my role is to ensure that they are working on those issues. Well, firstly, that they're aware of them.
Right.
And often they're not. Often they are also, but they don't know what to do about it. So my job is to be a strong link and an advocate and a voice. Often I will amplify the issue at a government level.
And before this role, you were the chairman of the Disability Council. Mm. What was different about that than what you're doing now?
Well, I think there's a lot of similarities. For example, we identified at the New South Wales Disability Council that employment was a big issue, the NDIS, and housing. Of course, the most obvious difference is I've gone from being the chair of a New South Wales council to being the Australian Disability Discrimination Commissioner. And as you would know, Barbara, Australia is a big country.
Yes.
And there are many issues that are similar to people all around Australia, but there are also some very significant regional and state or territory issues. For example, in the Northern Territory, Aboriginal people with disability are finding it challenging to access the NDIS, or some of them don't even know what, or many don't know what the NDIS is all about.
As Disability Commissioner, do you feel the role gives you a level of effectiveness, or a level of authority where you can be effective?
Yes, I do. I see myself as an agent of change with great responsibility. I do know that my office and my role give me the responsibility to connect with government in a way that I know many people may not have that opportunity to do so. So I feel a great responsibility to ensure that I use that opportunity wisely, and that I don't hold back from making sure that government don't know what the issues are. But it's not only government, it's private organisations, it's the community, it's the state and territory government. They all need to be aware of the importance of working together to ensure that people with disability can get a job, go from A to B, and live in a house that should be accessible.
Here we are at the Inclusion Conference, Live, Work and Play, and we're a radio station, Radio 2RPH, and you are a person who is deaf. How can radio service the needs of deaf people? It sort of is completely... At the outset, you'd think that was impossible, but I'm interested to know your views.
You're right, Barbara, in that radio might seem to be inaccessible to deaf people, and yes, from the physical point of view, deaf people can't hear what's been said on the radio. But you can make it accessible by transcribing the spoken word into the written word and making transcripts available in written form. I'll just at this point say I was disappointed to learn, and I've spoken about this before, the ABC is cutting its written transcript service. So they are now only going to do a few programs per day instead of a larger number as they were. So that means that deaf people and people who are blind who might want to read the transcript later at their own pace,
yes,
will be missing out on what people who can hear or see are getting from the ABC.
And somebody somewhere is making the decision about what people are interested in having transcribed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it lessens your choice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've said this before. I'm disappointed when the ABC CEO, who came in last year, said, I want to make the ABC 100% accessible to 100% of Australians. Well, I'm an Australian, and my friends who are blind or deaf are also. We live in Australia and we want the same access to communication. Well, I have met with the ABC a number of times and I've expressed my concern. And look, it certainly is a work in progress, but I think the most important thing to remember is if it's not written, it excludes, or if we don't have written transcripts, it excludes an enormous number of Australians, not just those with disability.
Well, that is something that we will take on board at 2RPH. Now, it was interesting to be in the last session with Professor Gerard Grogan from University of Sydney. Did you listen to that session?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend his session, but I do know Professor Grogan.
Right. Yeah. So the whole notion of digital citizenship as a human right must fall into your camp in the sense that it's a human right and people with disabilities probably have less access to what the notion of digital citizenship.
You're absolutely right, Barbara. What we are finding is that people with disability, particularly those who are blind or have low vision, if they need to access something online and it's not accessible, and if organisations and government are expecting everybody to use digital solutions, then we are seeing a whole segment of the population not even able to access that very basic technology. So we are very concerned, and I'm very concerned, and I think it's important to remember any new technology and even existing technology needs to be reviewed. We need that minimum baseline accessibility. It's all very well to have brand new whiz-bang technology coming onto the market, but if you're excluding 1 in 5 Australians with disability from it, then we are not going to achieve things as a society.
Right. It's not inclusion, it's exclusion.
Exclusion, absolutely, Barbara.
So what are your goals over the next year in your role?
Well, earlier I talked about those 6 priority areas. So
yes.
Now that I've heard from the community and the disability community in particular that those are the big ticket item, I'm now going to start establishing small projects within those priority areas, and I'm also going to work closely with the government on those areas and try and get some, it might be law reform, we might need to change the law, we might need more funding, and I know funding is a difficult issue in an ever-diminishing resource, an environment with ever-diminishing resources, but we have seen that if you invest a certain amount of money, it saves the taxpayer money,
yes.
It saves them money in the long term. So that's the sort of conversation I'll be having. And I'm also going to continue to consult and meet with as many people as I can, because my work is shaped by what is happening out in the community. And this conference is another perfect example for me to meet and catch up with everyone.
Terrific. Well, you've got 5 years, I understand, in this role. Well, the initially 5 years. So... You've got a lot to accomplish in that time.
Barbara, I have to say, if the first year or 9 months is any indication, the time will go very quickly.
So thank you very much for joining us today, Alistair. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next programme.